Think back for a moment in time, maybe when you were at work or at home, when you had to make a difficult decision, but may not have had all the information that you needed, or used some level of fear, power, or spite in making your answer. I call this the heads down approach, or I don't care, I'm always right decision. Anybody else? No? We leave no room for vision. We leave no room for any other possible position on a matter but our own. When I was in late middle school, there was an assignment in class that taught me a valuable life lesson: to think of all possibilities before making a stand or taking a position on something. The class was asked if they believed there was life on the planet Mars. Anybody? That's what we said. Half our class said yes, the other half said no. Then we gave our arguments and reasons for our decisions. The next day, our monthly assignment was to take the opposite approach to our decision and argue for or against life on Mars. As I had said yes, there was life there, I now had to research and argue a case that there wasn't, that there was, I'm sorry. So after a week of frustration, doing homework, research, I found that both positions can be supported. So it left me wondering, maybe I need to be more open to possibilities, listen to both sides of an argument before hastily making a decision, especially out of anger, fear, or power in that matter, which may cause some humility at times, but the right approach in correct decision making. This became for me the heads up approach. Thinking back, reinforcing my heads up approach was my faith, first instilled with me with my baptism. Our catechism tells us that baptism is God's most beautiful gift. We call it gift, grace, anointing, enlightenment. A bath of rebirth seals us in the most precious gift. It's keys to entering the kingdom of God. Baptized, we all share in the life of Christ, his suffering, his death, and his glorious resurrection. He should influence all we think, all we do and say. And as we grow older and more mature in our faith, the more we depend on Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be a central part of our decision making, including concepts like our needs versus wants, charity versus excess wealth, caring just for ourselves versus caring for our neighbors. As we allow our dependence on Christ to increase, learning through word and example, we free ourselves from making ill-advised decisions based on human bias, personal ambition, or our own selfishness. Today we celebrate and honor the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. In our gospel reading, we find Pilate having to make a difficult decision, questioning Jesus to determine if he is a king. Remember, the Romans were in power with a vast army. They used it to maintain power and always look on the lookout for threats to their kingdom, to their rule, to their way of life. The people, tired and poor from taxes and oppression, longed for a leader to rise up and restore the kingdom of Israel through force, freeing them from the Romans. Many pinned all their hopes and dreams on Jesus. Despite Jesus' messages and teachings of truth, love, and nonviolence, many looked at him as their new king, not the divine mission and eternal kingdom he was called to by the Father. As his popularity grew and in his time, Jesus was recognized as a threat to the kingdom of Rome and someone who had to be dealt with and dealt with quickly. Pilate continually struggled to determine if Jesus really is a king, as some wish him to be, while others wish him to inflict punishment. Pilate only thinks of kingship in terms of earthly and political realities. His human self-interest lead him down a short path of a heads-down decision. Pilate, afraid of Jesus and his popularity, asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "Your own nation and chief priests has handed you over to me. What have you done?" From Pilate's point of view, he's perplexed because he believes he holds the life of Jesus in his hands, whether Jesus should live or die. And he can't understand why Jesus isn't afraid of him or his position of power. Jesus refuses to accept Pilate's narrow understanding of a king, one of living to be served by others versus Jesus who came to serve. Jesus, King of the universe, rules a kingdom not of this world. It's a power that Pilate can't fathom, understand, or come to terms with. Lacking a heads-up approach through his short-sightedness, he's not open to the limitless possibilities abound in our Lord. He's not open to the truth. Jesus tells Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Father draws people to believe in Jesus and forms them into communities of the church. To belong to the truth implies we do not belong to this world, but to the eternal life with Christ. The members of Jesus' kingdom listen to his voice as sheep listen to a shepherd and call us to live as Jesus did, faithfully witnessing to the truth and obeying the Father's will through love. The question becomes, do we decide to respond to Christ's call in our lives? Do we allow Christ the King in our lives to also be in our heart, in our mind, in our soul? Do we act upon our faith? Do we look for Jesus in our thoughts and works at home and at work? And as we make decisions, both big and small, may we always include the influence of Jesus Christ, King of the universe, to guide us in all that we may do and all that we say. As our Lord God reminds us, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." Amen.